Okay, so nothing else said. So then, in the deity worship, then basically you're going to have, you have your daily act, means you have, as we discussed here, basically that's your philosophy. That's very important. Generally, most people, when they discuss deity worship, they don't discuss philosophy because it's not understood. The Pancharatra, the bulk of it is actually the philosophy. Because if that's not clear, you're not inspired to do the service, right? Then, having done that, as we mentioned, then you have the actual worship of the deity on a daily basis, because that's nitya seva. Because the relationship with the Lord is eternal, so it's always nitya. Then there's going to be special occasions, like Janmashtami or Ekadasi or in different festivals, Julan Yatra. So how are those observed? Because then you're doing what you do daily in a more elaborate form. Like every day you bathe the deity, but on a special day, then there's a more elaborate abhishek, right? Or the cooking is more elaborate, or the dressing is more elaborate, or... But it's the same thing, just more elaborate. So how to expand it, right? And then there'll be the lifestyle of the individual. So that we also discussed. So then you have nitya, which is daily, and naimittic, which means occasional. So basically the same thing. So then in the nitya, that's broken down into, it means you have two main aspects of it. One is cleanliness and punctuality. Prabhupada mentions these are the most important aspects. So cleanliness, because that's just the nature, because if you're dealing, goodness means clean, so pure goodness means more clean. Right? It's just like here we clean because there is dust, right? In the spiritual world they clean, there is no dust. Right? So they're more clean. Then philosophically, Krishna is the supreme pure, so naturally, unless one is pure, the environment is pure, then how one is going to interact with Krishna. And then punctuality, because then you're dealing with relationship, it depends upon that things are happening at the appropriate time. Right? You don't have a great relationship when everybody's always late, or you're not sure when it will happen. You know the kids come home at 4 o'clock, so that works nicely. One day they come home at midnight, one day, they don't even leave, or come back after 5 minutes after going out the door. It makes it really hard to run a lifestyle. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the time is very important. Everything's done at the proper time. Right? Because also is that according to the time of the day, according to the season, right, then there's different things that you would do. Right? When it's hot out, you use the peacock fan. When it's cold, you don't use the peacock fan. Does that make sense? In the morning, you like to do certain things that you wouldn't do in the afternoon. You don't get up, you don't take your nap in the morning. No, you have the things you take the nap in the afternoon. Does that make sense? So, therefore, time is very important, how it all works. So then, explaining these two, the combination, then you have five main aspects. So it's called, the deity worship also is known as Panch Anga Puja, means the five limbs of the worship. So these five would be, you have your called Abhigamana, which means you're approaching, means preliminary activities that you do before you worship the deity. Right? This is not your necessarily the direct, but the indirect. Like taking bath and that, it's indirect. But you have to do all those things first. So it's also known as approaching the temple, what you would do before you actually get to the temple. Right? And here we mean, the temple means to the worship of the deity. Right? The second part then is, what's it called? Upadana, which means that you're preparing all the paraphernalia you would need for the worship. So that means, whatever is there, collecting flowers, cooking boga, collecting that, bringing the dresses, gathering, whatever items you would use, your lotas, your achman cups, your lamps, anything that you require for the puja, you're arranging it. So that means, also having the knowledge of what it is. If there's a mix of something, then, that you know what it is, you make all the arrangements. The third part then is called yoga. Yoga means where you're bringing yourself and the paraphernalia to the same transcendental platform as the Lord, right? Because otherwise, what's going to be the meaning of, you know, mundane elements being used for Krishna's worship? Right? Krishna is spiritual, so therefore, what interacts with him is spiritual, because Krishna doesn't interact with the material. Does that make sense? Right? So yoga is then bringing everything up to that platform, right? Including the mind. Right? Then the fourth part, this is the actual what we call, you know, what generally we call deity worship, but it's one of the five, is called ijja. So ijja then means the actual external direct worship of the deity, right? With 16 items, right? And these 16 items then, they are expanded as the 64, right? It means this is not the 64 given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion, the 64 items of devotional service. This means within deity worship, there are all 64 items, right? That's Lord Chaitanya, he gives that to Srila Rupa Goswami, I mean Sanatana Goswami. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the list of all the 64. Basically, all it is expansions of the 16. Right, you know, you offer an artik, but then you offer them throughout the whole day, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just different aspects of the main puja that are just expanded to for the rest of the day. So you understand the 16, you'll understand the 64. Okay. Then, having worshipped the deity, then you have the concluding activities. Right. So that's called swadhyaya. Like that, or sometimes also adhyayana. It's the same thing. It means study, right? In other words, it's activities that one has to study and practice to actually make your deity worship perfect, right? So these activities include chanting Hare Krishna, your japa, worshiping Tulsi, serving the Vaishnavas, then taking care of guests, then studying the scriptures, then honoring prasad, and then worshiping the dham. So if we notice that the swadhyaya actually includes the other, means of the five main items that Rupa Goswami gives as important in devotional service, since we're looking at it from the position of deity worship, swadhyaya includes all the other four. Does that make sense? So in other words, deity worship isn't complete unless all five are done. If you're not chanting, you're not serving the devotees, you're not studying the Bhagavatam, you're not, you know, serving the Dham, then your deity worship won't be complete. Does that make sense? Okay. So then that's the overview of, these are the five parts of deity worship. So you see, again, it's very broad. It includes from when you get up in the morning, you know, and go to bed at night, to all your other devotional activities. Right, so then, so in the middle, that you would call your main aspect of the worship, preparing the paraphernalia, the spiritualization, and then the worship itself, right? So also to be noted in here is that an important element of you know, universal law is that you have preliminaries and conclusion, right? Then the activities in the middle. Everything that you work with in the creation, there's preliminaries before you can do the activity, and having done the activity, there's a conclusion. Does this make sense? So, means here in the Pancharatra, it's there. In the Vedas, it's also there. In everything, it's there. The misunderstanding of this, or the lack of using this, is actually what breaks down the culture. Because human interaction is actually dependent, not as a means, on preliminaries and conclusion. Right? Does that make sense? someone comes over to your house, then there's going to be, you know, hi, how are you? Come in, sit down, how is it going? All this. If they just, you know, open the door and they just march past you and walk in and sit down on your couch, what are you going to think? Right? Because the activity was going to be sitting on the couch and talking. So they don't bother with all the preliminaries, they just cut to the chase. Right? And then, as soon as the conversation is finished, they, okay, bye, see you later, it was really nice talking to you, this, that, they just get up and walk out. What would you think? Right? So, that's the whole idea, because much of the social problems come because we like to cut down on the preliminaries and the conclusions. We think, oh, that's just all fluff. Yeah, it's human fluff. And without it, you don't have human. Does that make sense? So it's a cultural aspect also. So even though the rituals are there, the same culture can be explained. You take all the verses and all the rituals in deity worship, you can explain the philosophy with it. You can explain the culture. There's no difference. Does that make sense? All aspects of the Bhagavat, the Pancharatrik, the Vedic, the common point is they can explain spiritual, they can explain relationships, they can, you know, does that make sense? Everything can be it's all how you say it? It's all connected. Therefore, it's complete, it's whole. Right? Whatever comes from Krishna is complete. Om Purna Madhav Purna. So if you have something that's not complete, means it's not coming from Krishna. If it's complete, it came from Krishna. Does that make sense? It didn't come from Krishna, means we made it up. So it's an illusion. Does that make sense? Like that. So then the preliminaries, then as we mentioned, we already mentioned before, that we get up, you know, purify yourself, take our bath, dress ourselves according to Vaishnava dress and all that, go to the temple, attend the Mangalartik, right? So that's all Abhigamana. Having finished Mangalartik, that's when your deity worship begins. So then you'll collect all the paraphernalia. Right? Having collected the paraphernalia, then you're going to take it into the deity room. You're going to set it up nicely according to what actually works best for the puja. Right? You're going to set it up so that each item is easily accessible, each has its place, it's orderly, it looks very nice, and by the offering of each item, you're not going to be in any way contaminating another item that hasn't been offered. Does that make sense? So just stuffing everything on the plate and then sticking it there and having to wrestle with it every time you want to get a paraphernalia out, that's not the process. So yoga means you're putting everything that's arranged to do the puja properly. So that's your first thing. You're going to put everything down. Then you're going to situate yourself on the asana that you're going to use for the puja. The asana is important because the asana represents the earth. Right? So then we're going to be able to, like all these asanas you sit on, they represent Bhumi. So she gives you support. Right? That's why technically you can stand on it, but you don't move it around or deal with it with your foot. Right? So out of respect, even though you sit on it, you stand on it, but still there must be respect for it. That's why if you deal with it, you use your hand. So even you're doing here, you have the asana. If you want to move that, you don't just move it with your foot. You move it with your hand and then wash your hand again. So if you find you're too close, too far, you step off the asana, move it with your hand, wash your hand, then step, you know, and then continue. Does that make sense? Like that. Then, having done that, then any paraphernalia that needs to be installed and all that, or worshipped or anything like that, then that is done. Then we come to now the more subtle aspects of yoga that are generally, means those part up to now, that's pretty straightforward. Now we get into the more subtle aspects that much of the time are... Oh, okay. They run backwards. So it sucks the air up. You can't turn them around, or they always work that way? They always go that way. Okay, so it's just for moving the air. It's not for blowing cold air, okay. Because generally it's cold, so it blows the, what it does is it moves the hot air off the ceiling down. It actually warms the room by doing it this way. Or circulates air, something like that. Okay. Now the subtle aspects means the taking the permission of the spiritual master. We're taking it, let's say we're worshiping Krishna, okay? Or Radha and Krishna. The permission of Lord Chaitanya, like that. It's not a problem if you want it on, it's fine. I was just pointing out that they go both ways, you know. If these go this way, then it's probably done for just to move the air or to heat the room. Because all the heat goes up, so then you put it on, it blows it down. You actually save on heating. Like that. So, now, this is very important. This also, this aspect that we'll explain now will also solve your problem of, you know, the multiplicity of artiks, processes that devotees have mentally concocted, right? Is the worship of the, now you worship the spiritual master. So that worship means you're acknowledging that your connection to Krishna is through him. So it's not worship in the form of ijja. This is worship in the form of connecting yourself to Krishna through the spiritual master. Subtle point, but if you don't understand it, you actually haven't even understood our philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. That's why it's so amazing that devotees will become bewildered by this point. Then having worshipped him, then Lord Chaitanya is worshipped. Right? Because it's actually only through Lord Chaitanya that we can worship Krishna. Right? Because Krishna has come in the mood of Radharani. Krishna, it's as you surrender, he reciprocates. So we don't, it means Krishna in Braj can only be served through love. There is no other form. Right? It means through rules and regulations, it's there because we know he's God, we should worship him. That's called Vaikuntha. That's Narayan. So to worship Krishna in Vrindavan means Krishna himself. So Krishna is only going to reciprocate with your mood. That's it. So there's no opening. But Krishna comes in the form of his devotee. Devotees don't care for this. Right? Krishna's point is you walk down the street, and when you want to know him, then he'll reciprocate. Devotees are, you're walking down the street, devotees couldn't care less about your independence, they come up to you and start explaining to you about Krishna. Does that make sense? So Lord Chaitanya is taking Srimati Radharani's mood, therefore in the mood of the devotee, therefore Krishna becomes accessible. Does that make sense? So therefore we worship Lord Chaitanya in approach to Radha and Krishna. God. Okay? Does that make sense? So that means the paraphernalia that you're going to worship the spiritual master with here is not the same that you're going to be using for the deity. Right? Because you're recognizing this position. In other words, there's the concept that you're going to approach through the spiritual master. But then it's being done with separate paraphernalia because you're actually doing worship. You're recognizing it and worshiping him. Right? Lord Chaitanya, you're recognizing and worshiping. Okay? Then having done that, then one will do Manasa Puja, which means whatever worship you want to do for the deity, then that is done within the mind. Right? Because up to this point, By habit of performing of the ritual and chanting of the mantras, you may still be distracted. But Manasa Puja means the mind can't go anywhere else. It has to focus on what you're going to do, because Manasa Puja means to use your mind. It can't be thinking of two things at once. Right? So therefore, then, whatever is the ritual you want to do, in your mind, you go through it. Right? Does that make sense? Having gone through that, now you've brought in all the paraphernalia and yourself up to the transcendental platform. Right? Now then you start the ija. You start the external puja. Right? Starting with, you know, asanam, swagatam, padyam, argyam, achmaniam, like this. So having gone through all that, then afterwards, then you're going to, even within the 16 items, right? Because we see, as we mentioned before, this principle of preliminary, the main work, and then the other, is also, you still have that within the 16 items. So you're receiving the Lord, right? Giving him a seat, welcoming him, washing the feet, offering arga, achman, maruparka, punar achman. That's then receiving. Then you're going to do the main worship, will be his bathing, his dressing, his ornamenting, and all those things, offering things to eat and everything like that. Then there's going to be the conclusion, right? So so your five items of worship are actually the main worship, right? And then it becomes 16 because some are preliminary, and then the 16th is conclusion. So the 16th item means now you're going to offer the remnants from the worship to his associates. You know, we're going to offer ourselves to Krishna, offer prayers, distribute charinamrita, take darshan of the deity, circumambulate the deity. Does that make sense? So all these things are conclusion of the puja. So we see is that technically is all the devotees, means they've all done the abhigamana, approaching the temple. Then they themselves, so preparing the paraphernalia is just something you need to do the puja, right? But then bringing yourself to the transcendental position, you go, you offer respect to the spiritual master, we have guru puja. Right, and then as we mentioned before, we're going to chant japa, which is all part of the fifth item. Right, we're going to hear Bhagavatam, we're going to worship Tulsi. Right, we're going to take prasad. Right, and then these concluding activities of the puja itself: taking charinamrita, taking darshan of the deity, offering prayers to the deity. So we're performing that also. Does that make sense? So technically speaking, it's only the main points of ija that we haven't done. Does that make sense? Everything else in the pancharatrik thing of the panchanga, that's we've been taking part in. Right? And even that, then we see so many aspects of the worship going on, then we get that same benefit. So in that way, whether you're on the altar or not, you actually technically get the same benefit. At the same time, is there's a special taste in doing the worship. Does that make sense? And by doing that, there'll be more commitment. You'll take things more carefully. You know, if you're coming to the temple and only going to Mangalarti, you may not be as careful about your cleanliness as if you were going to do the puja. So it's just, it deepens the consideration. Okay, so then... yeah, having done that also then what we were saying before then answers the difficulty in the artik is being able to understand the difference between yoga and ija. Or in other words, purifying or approaching the deity, bringing oneself to the transcendental platform and actual the worship itself. Does that make sense? The artik technically starts when you're showing the lamp to Krishna. Right? But now, according to the pancharatrik rules, can you just pick up a lamp and start offering it to Krishna? If we follow the pancharatra, can you do that? No. You have to go through yoga. You have to approach the Lord. So that means you are going to take the permission. You're not worshiping. You're taking the permission of the spiritual master, the previous acharyas, Lord Chaitanya. Then you are worshiping Krishna. Right? So we've done yoga, then you do ija, and then having finished whatever is the item is there, then it goes into the conclusion part, right? Into the 16th item, where then we are going to offer the remnants of the item that we offer to Krishna in the Artic than to his associates. Then it's going to come back down, you know, Tulsi, the previous Acharyas, Tulsi, then out here all the devotees have come. Does that make sense? So there's going to be those three aspects that are very clear. Your preliminary, the item itself, and the conclusion. And so in this way it's going to be yoga, ija, you know, meaning whichever is the item you're offering, and then the conclusion of the ija by offering it to everybody else. Does that make sense? So therefore, you can understand there is no such thing as two kinds of artics. There's only one kind of artic. So this idea that there's two, that's total mental speculation that's been created because of misunderstandings. It has nothing to do with Pancharatra. It has nothing to do with the Shastra. Does that make sense? Is there any question on that? So it's very clear on, yes.
So the second type, do you mean like offering, just offering to Guru, Parampara, and then just offering directly to Krishna? That's the second method?
No, that's the only method. There isn't another method. You know what I'm saying? It would be like saying, oh, well, which kind of cooking should we do? You know, there's two kinds of cooking. One is that you cut up all the vegetables and everything and get all the stuff together and not like that, and then you put all that into the pot, and then you cook it. The other one is, I just bring the stuff, you know, straight out of the van and pour the potatoes as they are in the bag into the pot. Is it a style? So therefore, this thing of that there's two kinds of artik means somebody doesn't know what deity worship is. Just as like to say there's two kinds of, if we say there's two kinds of cooking there, we would say that's ridiculous. But because we don't know deity worship, then we'll sit around and speculate that, well, maybe there's... The point is you can't walk in, wash your hands, light the lamp, and then offer it straight to Krishna. Who are you? Why should Krishna even consider your lamp? Right? Because it says, if you say you're my devotee, you're not. Krishna doesn't even say, well, you know, someone who says my devotee, he's not really a very advanced devotee. One who says he's not my devotee, he's the devotee, then he's the advanced one. No, Krishna just says flat, you're not even my devotee. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that there is only one kind of artik. That is, you pick up the lamp, you get the permission of the acharyas by showing it, going through the parampara and that, then you show it to Krishna. Right? So all those little numbers and all that, that all starts with Krishna. You don't have to do it on everybody else.
You just take their permission.
You're taking their permission because that's the way puja works. Yoga means you're getting their blessings. Then you can do. But at the same time, as in yoga, you're getting the blessings and separately worshiping them. So that's separate paraphernalia. And this is where the confusion comes, because they can't tell the difference between yoga and ija. So therefore, in this case, then they think, oh, I've worshipped with this paraphernalia. I've showed it to the spiritual master, and therefore now it's prasad. So how can I offer that to Krishna? This is where the confusion has come from. But that's a mundane view. Point is the spiritual master so greedy? Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, one pujari cooks the offering, right? Right? And then another one makes the plate. And then the one who makes the plate gives it to the pujari who's going to do the offering. And the pujari who it's given to does the offering, takes it off and eats it, right? No? So then, why would by giving the plate of boga to the spiritual master, he's going to sit down and eat it? He's going to offer it to Krishna. So even you show him the lamp, even you yourself are thinking, I'm worshiping my spiritual master. He's not accepting it like that. It's approaching the deity. It's a preliminary. Right? So this point of preliminary activity and conclusion, that's an eternal principle. That's culture. That's human life. Right? And nobody's claimed that this side of the Atlantic is famous for human life. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, due to not understanding this, we create our own speculations and our own rituals that have nothing to do with Pancharatra. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
I just wanted to clarify. So, when we start doing the Arati, you said the number starts with Krishna, so when...
Means if you want, you can use the numbers on the other, but it's not, but it's, the point is you have to understand, if you're using the numbers on the guru, it's still taking his permission.
Yes.
It's not worshiping. You know, so if it makes it easy for you as far as, you know, your timing, and so therefore you have your different things where you're going to go, that can be done.
To have the standard, the same standard in the temple for all pujaris, what's the best way to do it?
So the point is you're going to go up through, then you're going to worship Radha and Krishna. Then you're going to actually do the artik for Gaunitai, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. You know what I'm saying? That would be if you want to use it technically like that. Otherwise, it doesn't matter, because it is, Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna, so there's no problem there. So otherwise, you start with Gaunitai, do the all the worship there, go to Radha Krishna, then go to Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. Does that make sense? But the point is approaching the parampara, that's not worshipping them, that's taking their blessings. And then after you've worshipped all the sets of deities, then going down through them is then offering the remnants to them. You know what I'm saying? But you have to understand that's different from the external, means the, this is another very important point we should explain. See, is that is still the 16th item of worship. That's not swadhyaya, honoring prasad. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, when you offer it like that, go down to the parampara, show Tulsi, show Prabhupada, and show the devotees, that's still part of the worship. You don't do that, it's not finished. That's still the 16th item. Once that's done, then you see the lamp goes out. Because if it was the same, then why do we have to send the lamp out for the devotees to touch it? You understand? So therefore, here's another one of these great mental speculations, is then after you offer the flowers to Krishna, you have to take some off before you offer to all those other dirty fellows. You know, and take one off each time because it gets more and more dirty as it goes down. No, you offer it to everybody. Once it's finished, you know, the complete plate, then you take that and give it to Krishna, because that was complete worship. Because if Krishna is not worshiped with his devotees, it is not worship. You know? When you worship Panchatattva, do you make any distinction? You know, when you go off in Lord Chaitanya, and then after that you have to take the flowers off because now you're going to offer to Nityananda, and he wouldn't get back because he's the original. He's Swayam, while Nityananda is actually its expansion. So then, you know, and then get down to Srivas, he's a Jiva, so really he's out of it. So you got to offer everything before you get to him. No, they're one deity. Does that make sense? So in Krishna's mind, it's him and his creation is complete. In our mind, it's God and us, and everybody else is a schnook. You understand? That's where these things come from. They're very conditioned understandings. They're not real. They're not spiritual. But introduce one of those once, bang, all our 50 temples in America are all doing it perfectly. You try to introduce actually the Pancharatrik mentality in that, you can be working on it for 30 years and still they don't get it. But introduce something mundane, it is around the world, you know, in, you know, what is it, 80 days or whatever. It's just, it's done. You know what I'm saying? One pujari comes out, oh no, but this, and then it just goes. But the explanation that they'll give has nothing to do with actually the science of deity worship. So that means it actually has nothing to do with the science of our philosophy. Because the point is like Krishna is telling Kapila Muni is telling his mother in the third canto is that if you worship the deity nicely but aren't respectful to all living entities, then I don't accept your worship. So the point is Krishna and his creation go together. Right? Because otherwise, what's the meaning of him being God? He knows he's God. But, you know, if we're saying he's God, means that he's God of what? His creation. So that means God and his creation go together. Right? Just like if you approach a man and deal with him and ignore his wife, is he going to be very happy? No. You know, it's him and his wife. They go together. So Krishna and his potency go together. So therefore 15 items are worshiping him. The 16th means you have to worship his potencies in the form of his devotees. Then it's considered 16 items of ija, of worship is done. Then you have swadhyaya where you take prasad and just do all that kind of stuff. In a sense, you always have the subtle, then you have the external manifestation. You know, so that's why also, oh no, but then we've offered the Prabhupada and you don't have to offer it again and this and that. And it gets so trippy. You know. And this is on the altar with one person. Then the lamp comes out. Then you start the computerized printout, the brahmacharis work out every morning before they get up, you know, exactly who's senior, not, you know, someone sits up with binoculars, oh, hey, this one's coming, oh, okay, well, then we move them around on the list, and then, you know, zigzags around until, you know, everybody's gotten the thing like that, and if anybody's, because before, pushed out of the way, no, because they get first, and this whole, you know, it's like, you know, where that's come from, but every temple does it, but it has nothing to do with reality. Right, Pancharatna means the normal thing is you have here, and there's a gap in the middle because Prabhupada's there, and so, you know, so you don't make block between there, because traditionally there is that there's the deity and his prominent devotee. So in Pancharatric temples, that would be Garuda. You know, for us, it's a spiritual master. Right, so devotees are on two sides. So you take the lamp, you start at the front, you go down that side, and when you get to the back, you switch to the other side and come from there and come down to the front, and then it's done. So simple. No. Prabhupada said you deal with the deity as you would deal with his picture. So when he was there, then we would do. The deity is there. This is a 3D picture. You understand? There's the one you do all that. So that's already been done, worship this and that, he's been approached and all that. Technically you don't. I mean, here it's like, you know, how, you know, got three devotees here and someone down there. You know, bigger temples, the lamp actually goes out. I've seen it. By the time they get down to that, going around, hunting out and fighting everyone off to find the swamis or the other senior devotee, the GBC, this, then when they get to the devotees, the lamp's actually out. I've seen it. So when Prabhupada was here, the lamp went there, went down one side, came back the other. You know, same with the water. You put it in that funny little thing, you just go up one side and come back down the other. Finished. Right, this thing, you got to come up behind them, you know, without them knowing, sprinkle it on the back of their head, like that. You want to know where that came from? Right? Because the senior man would be standing in the front. That senior man wore glasses. The pujari then would turn around with the water and splat right in the face, and he'd have to every time take off his glasses and dry it out. So therefore he told him, he says, you know, put it on the back of my head, you know, forget the glasses. And then from there it spread to the whole movement. And now that's the way it has to be done. You know, you come up, you're there, and suddenly, you're like, what? You know, then you got water in the back of your head. Very devotional. You know? Does that make sense? So therefore, the point is if you don't know it's coming, how is it going to be service? Right? You splash it on the back of your head, it's a gyata sukriti. You throw it from the front, you know it's coming, you're respectful. That's devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So this is the amazing thing, is the speculation can spread like this, and it's done, and people will argue over it. No, it's the standard. You know, but it wasn't a standard in the first place, so how can you call it a standard? Yeah, we offer mud pies to the deities, you know, like that. So but that's not exactly a standard. No, but we've always done it like that, you know. We're very strict, high-grade mud, you know, no rocks. Like that, prepared by highly qualified three-year-olds. Like that. You understand? So the problem is we create these things. So Pancharatra is supposed to help in removing the, you know, mystique and the illusion of this world, not to create more, you know. And so much of the time we create our own rituals, you know, like that. Another really good one is that after you eat, then you have to take a full bath before you do puja. So many temples do that, but it has nothing to do with Pancharatra. Pancharatra doesn't say that.
You then have to change the clothes before.
Means you can't wear the clothes that you ate in to do that. So what you would do if you're a pujari, you're wearing your clothes for puja, then you go change into something else. Take prasad, wash your hands, mouth, and feet, put back on your puja clothes, go back on the altar. That's the Pancharatric standard. They said, no, but we have follow a high standard. That's not a standard. Ayurveda will never say take a bath after you eat. So Ayurveda and Pancharatra are not going to be contradictory. So then why, where'd it come from? You know, it'd be some Mataji in LA made this up because she wants to be very strict because she's in charge. Right? Remember before the conversation, the pecking order. So you got to make sure every other woman knows she's in charge. This is the difficulty. At the same time, it's when they go to the bathroom, they wash their hands and maybe their mouth, but not their feet, which is an important element. But you got to take bath after taking prasad. Very strict. Very inconsistent, because it's mental speculation. It's got nothing to do with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's just made up. After the bathroom means if you're passing stool. If you're not, you know, then you just wash your hands, mouth, and feet. Understand? And the clothes that you're going to wear on the altar don't go into the bathroom. Right? It's very simple. It's actually quite straightforward. In other words, the clothes that you're going to wear into the deity room don't get contaminated by going to the bathroom or by eating or by sleeping. Right? And yourself, well, you've gone to the bathroom, you've ate or you slept, then according to what is there, you appropriately clean yourself. So then the clothes are clean, you're clean, it works. Right? Does that make sense?
Well, the difference is in the way home worship is done as opposed to temple worship.
Home worship as opposed to temple worship means to stand on your head, or temple worship you use the right hand, so home worship you use the left one, or maybe use both of them, you know. You know, you were, what do you call it? What are they called? The girls with the pom-poms. Cheerleaders, so therefore you use both hands. And, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, two chamras, right? So, basically speaking, is the home worship means that Krishna is your guest, right? The temple worship is he's God, right? So it's all about him. The home worship means he's the guest. So atiti means everything stops in the house for the guest. But still, it's according to your ability. You know what I'm saying? In the temple, you know, you have six offerings a day of a certain standard. But at home, it's whatever you have to offer, that's what you offer. So it's the same worship, but it's just simplified so that it matches, you know, what you have to offer, your lifestyle. But the point is, it's still about the guest, so it's about the guest, not about you. You understand? Atiti doesn't mean any old guest. Katiti means one who is respectable that everything stops for. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Why Krishna is guest in home? I feel that grihasthas put center that Krishna is possessor of their home.
Okay, so let us say if you're at your house, so your spiritual master comes to your house. So he doesn't become the center? Yeah. You don't consider everything in the house is for him? That's the point. If you don't know what a guest is, it won't make any sense. The Vedic concept of guest, or atithi, is a qualified Brahmin who just shows up at your door unannounced. Everything just stops and you take care of them. But they only stay one day. So they only stay one night.
But God, the deity is staying all the time?
Yes, but that's the point. Is as you would take care of that atithi for that one day, you take care every day. But you have to understand what a guest is.
And here in temple is different.
It's his temple, so therefore it's all according to his standards. In both cases, he's the center of attention. But the one is you have certain standards of quality of worship that's on a very high level of great opulence. That's the temple worship. While the home worship then is adjusted according to the facility that you have. Right? You know, in other words, you cook once a day for him, whatever it is that you cook. That's done. You know, does that make sense? Or you cook twice a day, or whatever it is that is a standard you can set and maintain, that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? Right. So in other words, if you have a guest, like it's a rule, nothing can be eaten in the house without offering it to the guest first. You know, it's not like the guest is in his room, you go off to the kitchen, cook something for yourself and then eat it. No, whatever it is that you're going to prepare in the house is offered to the guest. Does that make sense? So that's also an element. It just means understanding how to deal with a guest, you know, which is also not that popular, you know, in the modern society. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes.
Depending on how high the standard you feel like you're going to practice at home, should you sometimes opt to worship pictures of Krishna rather than deities?
Yes. The best thing is if you're worshiping at home is start with pictures. Because, see, for the means a picture means worshiping an Archamurti or worshiping a picture, you get the same benefit. The difference is that why you would choose an archa over a picture is that you can offer more things to the archa than you can the picture. Does that make sense? But they're all considered deities. So if I offer the artik to the picture, I get the same benefit as if I'm offering it to the deities. You know, means to the Archamurti. Right? The difference is you can't bathe a picture, or you know it's harder to dress them. You can do that, like in the Russian Orthodox and that. They only use icons. They only use pictures, but they put clothes. They do this, that. They have a method. Does that make sense? It's just the archa means the full 16 items can be done very nicely. The picture is more limited, but as far as benefit in worship, there's no difference. But then you have to set a standard, whatever it's going to be. But you should understand what it is. It's not like it doesn't matter. It's that's all the better I can do. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it should generate humility, not pride. Like that. So the best standard is at home, you have pictures. And that way also then if you all want to go out somewhere or you're going to go on a vacation or you want to go to the temple for the temple program, you just go. You know what I'm saying?
So
you don't have to worry about it. But if you have deities, then, you know, you have to make arrangements. So it's basically sentiment that everybody feels they have to have deities. You know, that they're going to be something more from there than they would from the picture. No, the only thing more is that there's more things you could offer, but they don't offer any more. They still will just do the artik and offer the boga, and then once every 2 weeks or once a week, then talk about having a bath, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the whole idea, because Krishna in the 11th canto describes what each deity likes. So the Archa Murti likes bathing. That's the specialty that Krishna comes in the deity form. He likes is the bath. So if you don't give him a bath, why have a deity? I mean, why have a Murti? You know what I'm saying? Because whatever worship you want to offer would have been offered very nicely through the picture. Because Krishna doesn't consider it different. Does that make sense? In other words, it's just what you can do more. Is that okay?
Yeah,
so like that, depending upon how much you can do, how much you want to do, how much you can maintain, then you decide what kind of deity you'll have and what kind of standard that you can maintain. It depends on your standard. If you can maintain the standard, you can have Radha Krishna. That's not a problem. But the point is Radha Krishna means you're following a proper standard, not, you know, once every 2 weeks changing their clothes and stuff. You know, that Radharani would want to see Krishna's clothes changed every day. So therefore, that's where your problem comes. You know, Gorni Thai, you know, they'll be a little more. But point is, his pictures are even better. You know, does that make sense? Like that. So that's the idea. Like that. We're going to take a break now, I think, for half an hour, just like that, and then we'll start again at 1:30. So then we'll open with your questions. Don't forget it. Okay. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.